Good morning. I am fine. I'm just, as your guest said earlier, it was a late night last night at
the County Fair.
I was just so happy to be out there. I mean, you just run into old friends and make new ones, and it was just a very special night at the county fair.
And you'll get some more nice nights, as we know, coming up. I just gave you that forecast. Absolutely perfect. Maybe not in the rain department, but that's only a 50-50 chance. But we're talking about 75 in August and 79 for highs. I mean, that's ridiculous. Tonight, if you want to get out there, we know that they will have they're going to have midget racing tonight. I want to make sure I get my cars right here, everybody. Mini sprints tonight. That's on the big track there. Inside, I'll have professional wrestling. You've got double action armband night. Two wristbands for $30 for the carnival rides. Those start around 5 o'clock. And for more information, you can head to the MonroeCountyFairgrounds.in for all of your info. Marty, when you go out there, do you just go out there and kind of wander around, or do you pick specific events you go out and see? I know you've been out there for a few fairs here and there. Tell us how you do it.
Right. Well, I really love going to look at the flower exhibits and all of the different all the projects.
The 4-H stuff.
The young people put together. I just received the information that Vic Kelson, a former council member, his daughter won a big ribbon for her artwork. And, you know, Cheryl Munson always has beautiful flowers out there. And one of my best friends from high school, her grandson won grand champion with his stare. So when you go out there, you're really sort of wanting to make sure you hit all those spots that your friends and families told you about, to make sure that you saw all of those exhibits and so forth. But then the other thing I like doing is walking through that commercial tent and stopping to talk with the different people who have questions, or they want to talk about county government or whatever. Last night, met with some really awesome young men discussing National Guard issues. And so they were doing, like, challenging people to push-ups and whatever. And I'm going, well, I don't think I'll be doing that. But It was great. Then, in addition to which, the county has a lot of people out there as well, just in different spots. Like, we had somebody there with the stormwater and drainage issues. We had a lovely person from the youth shelter discussing Safe Place, which, you know, I'm so proud of what we've been able to do with our youth shelter, and there's going to be more money there from our income tax for next year, so hopefully we'll be able to expand that day treatment option. I spoke with the director of Solid Waste District and talked about their upcoming budgets and so forth. So it's just a time to meet with friends, family, and my friends of Monroe County government as well.
Marty Hawks, our guest this morning, the county councilwoman, checks in with us. And as we talk about getting some help here around the county, we saw over the weekend that Mayor John Hamilton is looking for help yet from the city and county on helping
the Schlemm Center stay open.
Correct.
So on
extending
the weekends,
its hours to provide services from everybody else. I asked Tim Mayer the same question yesterday, the former city councilman. Is there money, quote-unquote, around for this now? I know you're getting ready to get budgeting put together. Does that change your budgeting plans? Tell us about how this process would work.
Okay, well, one thing I want to make clear, because I had people ask me about this, and so the analogy of, well, if we've got money left over from what we're supposed to do with our highway department, could it be moved over into social services? The answer to that is absolutely not, because we have these pots of money that we're required
state law,
to use,
right?
It for where the money actually came from. Now, because I think that was just an analogy that was used, and people thought, well, maybe we really could move over the highway money to this. Well, no, we can't do that. Because that money that comes from excise tax and from the gas tax it's all required to be used in certain ways. And so that has to, if there's money left over at the end of the year, that stays in that pot of money. It can't come over to County General or something. However, in some of the other budgets, if they don't spend all their budgets, if they look and see there's dollars left over in any of those lines, the county commissioners, if they have lines that have they've not used all those budgets, they could come and ask the county council for permission to spend that money to assist with Shalom. Now, if they do that, it is certainly my hope that they understand that they've looked at all of the things that the county's required to do before they look at the things that the city's required to do. Because it sounds like, well, this is a good idea. We have a problem. Everybody kick in your one-third. Well, the county is up against a lot of problems, too. And so at what point do we say, we really have to have more jailers?
They're exactly right. If you've got a jail population that is overflowing, as we've read here recently in the paper, that kind of ties in with that problem as well. Which chicken or egg do you attack or deal with first?
Well, Marty,
right. I'm sorry.
But do you have a fund? And I don't remember what yours is called.
It's called the Sophia Travis.
Okay, the Sophia Travis Fund, and that is set up to do these kind of social services. So why not take some of, I believe it's close to $150,000 or maybe more that you guys have to use towards that. Why not take some of that money? It's already set up to do that.
Obviously, it appears that there's going to be someone, some group, come along just as soon as that budget has been set, since it's all those grants have been made out of there, and there's going to be somebody come along afterwards, after all that's happened, and say, oh, but this is urgent, and we want you to give us X dollars. If that continues to happen, maybe the council would be wise to say, we're not going to grant all of those dollars. We're going to hold some of it back
in case of
emergency, which is something I have suggested in the past.
You're right. This has happened multiple times, and so maybe they should think about it like that, because it seems like to me that the county has more than its fair share of things that are needing attention right now. And I think you're dead on right, Marty.
Well, and not only that, what I would want people to know, that even though our dollar amount that we say in that particular that we budgeted to do that, I'm thinking it was $110,000. But that's coming straight out of County General. It isn't like any kind of other dollars come out. It's coming straight out of County General. But remember, that's not all of the money that we spend on things that we're not required to do. We also, for volunteers in medicine, for that clinic, that dollar amount's $200,000 and so forth. So if you added up all that the county actually spends on other things other than what we're required to do, it would be a huge amount. So we should not look at it and say, we are not budgeting enough. Let's put more money in there. We need to recognize we have a lot of obligations and things that we can do to make a difference.
Who's going
to
prioritize these obligations, Marty? Because obviously, as you've mentioned, each year all this money is essentially spoken for. How do you reset the order, if that's necessary, on who gets what and what amount? Who's in charge of changing that or determining that?
That's the county council. However, that they've already had those meetings and they've gone through a great process of saying, everybody making their requests, and they've already had those meetings. And they've already put in place dollar amounts for each of the groups. And so if they are to spend more dollars, then it will be up to the county commissioners to come and ask for those dollars. They can't, they would still have to have permission for an appropriation. So,
And while we're on the same angle, is we know the public safety tax is obviously around, and there's money there. Does that get reshuffled moving forward as well if this issue continues? Because obviously it would seem like jails and dealing with the situations wherever they might be happening is putting a strain on everything.
Right, absolutely. And I would want you to know that something that we've been waiting for several days, and thank goodness the State Budget Agency got their job done, and I know it's hard work, and I appreciate how hard they work to get that done and meet their deadline. But we did find out late yesterday afternoon what our dollar amount is that they have estimated. Now, we won't know for certain the dollar amount until, I think, it's October 1, but by August 1, they're supposed to tell us how much money they estimate we will be receiving in our local income tax. And we did get the good news, and the reason why I say it's good news is if that dollar amount is increased, that means the people here in Monroe County are making more money because it's an income tax. So if people have more income, as they make for each dollar more, then they're paying more into this income tax. But that revenue is now just for the certified shares, which is the part that we looked at for county government, is $29,769,608. So we understand that that's like a 4.5% increase, a 4.3%. But it's a little over 4%. Now, that's what the city had been saying they estimated it would be. But there was really no way to know for certain what that dollar amount was going to be. But
well, now that you know that dollar amount for certain, what does that change?
Well, because these are just estimates, and then the state will tell us what for certain those certified dollars will be. And that I think that's October 1, just to make sure that they've got the numbers right and see if there are any other things have changed. But from that's just the part that gets split up amongst all of the different taxing units that get income tax. But the public safety tax also would have gone up the same percent. So that's $7,800,000. So, you know, as we go along, we see that each of those units are pulling in more dollars. For instance, our juvenile service is pulling in, I think it was like $120,000 more for next year. And that dollar amount has really grown. I think it was close to $3 million it's going to be pulling in now for juvenile services. So I'm sure hoping that they will allocate and ask for to grow that day treatment program, something I've been really pushing hard for a long time. We saw just this past week an article where there's been some success there, and so maybe we can expand that. So that is a part of what the county's responsibility is, and that's the program as well as the one at the jail.
That's right, because you're going to have to pick and are you going to have to pick and choose, or are you just going to have to allocate to cover both?
Well, now the juvenile tax revenue cannot be used for the jail.
Okay,
it can only be used for juvenile issues, but within, and that's to operate our shelter and all other of our youth services. But for the good program that's being done right now at the jail, we had a certain square foot set aside for mental health issues and for addiction issues, and the people who are being served there have to commit to want to be in that area, and they would have to be there for at least 3 months. And so if we have additional dollars to put any place, it seems to me that would be the place that we would want to work at to make sure that they are successful when they leave
Monroe
County Hotel.
That's right. Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because I had someone ask me on social media, hey, we built this parking garage. Wasn't there supposed to be extra room and space in there in case we had overcrowding issues or maybe it was emergency issues? How does that fit in the puzzle?
Okay, that's what that ended up was that if we would have some reason to evacuate the jail.
Evacuate. That's the word I couldn't remember.
There would be a place to put them, although I'm told that they'd have to take them all out of the jail, walk them around the corner and whatever. It's just...
So in that parking garage, there is no feasible usage for today or tomorrow.
Right. Also, I wanted to do
unless
an
you put
update
money
and,
in the meter.
Change the dollar amount that I said for Sophia Travis, $115,000.
Okay, just ballparks are good enough. We're not holding you to the nickels and dimes.
You're right.
On all of
that. Oh, listen, I want to make sure I want to try to get it right if I can.
I know.
What I would want to make, because I know we're running out of time, and what I want to make sure that we're talking a little bit more about is this public safety tax. And the dollar amount that Central Dispatch has been asking for to have that increase. I don't have all those numbers memorized, but one of the things that while I was at the fair last evening, I had many people coming to me from the different fire departments, and they want to make sure that we keep them in mind as this moves forward and the vote is taken on that. And of course, my vote, I cannot believe, would be any kind of controlling vote, but I'm certainly happy to hear from all those fire departments and hear of their concern. But one of the things I hope that the people who are sitting there on that committee to make those recommendations back to the entire Income Tax Council, I hope they will hold the city's feet to the fire and say, look, we have all been asking for these numbers about what, how much is Central Dispatch, how much money is sitting in there, how much is left in their proposed budget for this year that they're not spending that is going to be going into this like a savings back for capital items at the end of the year rather than staying in that fund to make up any shortfall or something of the sort. So I'm just saying it's a big piece of the puzzle because with Central Dispatch asking for so many more dollars for equipment, we need to know how much they actually already have that could be used for equipment. And for some reason, I don't understand why we cannot get those numbers. I've asked for them. Jeff McKim's asked several times for them. Ryan Cobine's asked for these numbers. I've spoke with the legal department from the city. I've spoke with the controller's office. I don't know who else to ask.
You're running out of doors to knock on.
I mean, and I've spoke with our county attorney. So I'm at the point where I just think there's either some law, some big miscommunication going on, or why, you know, what at this point. I mean, I don't know who else to ask for it. And
aren't you?
This is your public plea right now.
Well, I mean, Marty, am I mistaken? I mean, this is the county dispatch center, isn't it? I mean, I thought this was the county was over the dispatch center.
Well,
or is it now that the city's over it? Because, I mean, just clarify
over
that.
It for a very long time. However, it's a countywide effort because we pay countywide to operate that dispatch center. The county paid for a lot of, you know, many, many dollars already just to get that going with equipment and so forth. And we have money coming into the county from the 911 money that we go that is spent towards Central Dispatch. And that's close to $1 million. I don't have that number memorized, but it's quite a bit of money. So it is not just up to the city, and any citizen ought to be able to walk in there and say, I want to see not just what was budgeted, but what money actually has gone into that fund, how much is left out of each line item that has not been spent. Maybe they've had vacancies or something where they've been able to put aside some money. We need to know those numbers, just like we would ask for any other budgetary information out of any other budget. And I don't know why it seems to be something we can't get. And they'll probably say, well, we didn't understand what you wanted. Well, I don't I don't know what else to say.
Marty, is that under the purview of the city controller, or is it under the purview of our auditor?
No, it's a city controller, because all of that money that comes in for our income tax, then the auditor must then completely send all of those dollars out where they're supposed to go. So what I want to see is how much actually has gone into that fund. How much do they have to start out with? How much has been added to it? How much has been spent down out of it, out of each line item that was budgeted? And what do we anticipate their carryover dollar might be at the end of the year?
Fair enough. It seems like a very fair question to ask, and it seems very outrageous to me that you're not getting the answers.
Well, hopefully next Wednesday you will have some answers and you can share them with us.
Right. I mean, I really hate to put it like this, but at some point in time, someone should go ask for a public information request if they don't come
out
with
like it.
Why not? I mean, that's something you can use. And you're a part of, well, if nobody else is listening, you just have to use the tools that are available. If that's part
right.
of one
but
of them,
really,
use it.
You know, at the end of the day, don't we do a better job if we can work well together rather than.
Seems like some of the headaches and issues have been because the communication hasn't been great in the past. It doesn't seem like we're perhaps learning all of the lessons we need to moving forward. It
doesn't sound like people are concerned that is a problem at all.
Look over here. Look over there.
Issue.
Look over there. That's sometimes how
it works. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see there. Look over here. There's other things to do. Marty, thanks for keeping us in the loop. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the weekend at the fair, and keep your eyes open tomorrow because those kids are heading back to school at RBB, so we've got new traffic patterns.
Thank you to all of those teachers who've worked so hard to get their rooms ready, and those shining floors over there at Steinsville, and I'm sure they're the same way in the Ellisville schools. You know that Richland Dienbotham is the school there at Steinsville, as well as all those in Richland Township. So it's a great community and family effort. So
keep your eyes and ears open. There'll be some excited kids tomorrow going back to school to the bus stop and after the bus stop, and your traffic pattern will be different from here until May, the end of May. So let's get used to it quickly. Marty, be safe. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Take care, Marty. Thank you.